You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Hello and welcome to the Event CEO podcast. Thank you for listening and sharing part of your day with us. It's both meaningful and we're extremely grateful for you to be here with us. I'm honored to be your host, Rebecca Linder, founder and CEO of Linder Global Events. And today we're so pleased to have on the show Jody Moraru, founder and creator of Evoke, but good friend of mine as well over many years.
That's more important than anything.
So welcome.
Right.
She's been a force in the industry for over 25 years, and I have known her just about that long. Jody, so great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. All right. So here we are. We're going to jump into a few questions.
Awesome.
You ready?
Yes, ready.
Educate our people in the world.
Let's do it.
So your work centers around celebrations.
Yes.
Is sort of how I was thinking about it. You know, weddings, mitzvahs, corporate, and life events, which I actually have to say, I just love how you promote that concept. How did you decide to narrow in on that sector?
You know, I think it's because it's just how I started. I started actually in the celebration of weddings and bar mitzvahs. That's where the business, that's where, when I first got into the events industry, that's what I was doing, weddings and bar mitzvahs. And through that, I ended up getting corporate clients as well. And so the business model has just really stayed true over the years by promoting life celebrations and celebrations of all sorts. So when we do corporate events, for example, they're not necessarily conferences, but they are the galas around meetings. They are the rebranding. They are the launches. So anything that involves a celebration. And it's just, it's where the passion is. It's where the excitement is. And I think also for us, it allows that real intense level of creativity to always shine through.
Why the name Evoke? I love the name, by the way. Why the name Evoke, though?
That was born out of a need to make some serious change. So many years ago, when I started my company, it was Jody Moraru and Associates. And as you recall, when the recession hit about 6 years ago, business was in the toilet. And
I love the honesty.
It was. It was in the toilet. And there were several factors with this. I refused to lower my fees because I understood the value of the work that we provided. People were really taking a hard look at their budgets. People were very tied into the name Jody Moraru. So while I was creating this team, people didn't want my team. Clients didn't want my team. They only wanted me. Very hard to develop a company, grow a company, and grow the team if you only want me. Additionally, the corporate market was growing for us as well. And Jody Moraru and Associates just sounded so personal and so... It had a lot of fluff to it, if you will. So out of necessity and out of listening to myself complain far too often, one night over dinner with some friends, somebody said, you should rebrand your company. And I said, that's a great idea. So we sat around the dinner table and 20 minutes later, my husband said, how about Evoke?
Oh, really?
So he came up with
the name. So no $100,000 hiring a consultant? Or,
no, it just hit.
It
felt right. It was the thing.
I love it.
And Evoke was born and is the perfect name. It is the perfect description. It is the perfect definition. And it will live on after I am long gone.
Yeah, no, it really is, you know, a great name. And actually, it kind of draws me into the next question. Events are about connection.
Yeah.
How does this influence the celebrations you plan and, quite frankly, Evoke? You could use the word. What is the underlying philosophy you have about celebration?
You know, I think life is to be celebrated. And the big milestones in life and the small milestones in life. And I think people often forget to do that. I think every day there's something to celebrate. You should wake up and there's gratitude in every day. Hence, we move forward to these big celebrations, and it is such a joy and a pleasure. And the philosophy for me and for Evoke is that there's no wrong way to celebrate. It's really understanding your clients, their needs, their vision, what is important to them, and making a celebration that really reflects who they are. Yeah. And that all comes with listening and learning and spending time.
How do your clients, and how do you, assuming that you kind of define what success looks like with your client in advance, how are you doing that? How are you getting sort of drawing them out to understand what's going to make this successful for them?
The initial meeting, initial conversation is about expectation setting. And it's about communication. And those are the two critical things. If we talk about what the expectations are, how do you need to communicate? what is the best way I can convey information to you? How's it going to, do I need to send you certain types of timelines, if you will? Do you need to communicate via phone all the time? Are you an email person? Do you travel a lot? Do we need to do Skype calls? What is it that's going to be the best way for me to communicate with that person? It's not about the way I communicate, but it's the way that I understand that the client needs to be communicated with. And I think that sets us up for very successful events if we keep along that path. And if during that course of planning, something falls awry, we get right back up on that communication train and then keep it going. It creates the relationship. It makes for a solid foundation of a relationship. And then when it's all said and done, you are left with a happy client, a trusted friend, and a great partner for life.
It's interesting because that's a lot about successful process. In terms of on the celebration side, because I can't even call it social because you really do a lot of corporate. On that celebration side, are you creating metrics of success around ROI, though, like a number of media impressions, number of attendees? Are any of those success metrics being established at the outset?
You know, I think because our role is so different. So that would, if we're working with a larger corporation, for example, they usually have a PR company they're working with or they have an in-house marketing.
Okay.
So what we try and do to set them up for success is instill the confidence that we are going to take care of what this event is at hand.
Okay.
So that they can have the success that they need to have their reach out to their clients, to their guests. That I have found really creates their success because they're not worried about the details. On the day or the days of the events, they're engaged with their community, which then allows them to create deeper relationships. And that keeps growing for them as time goes on. For us, I don't want to go in and be a one knockoff event company.
Right.
I want to create that long-term relationship. I get to see how that event grows year after year. And then it also allows us to make shifts, changes. We do a very thorough post-con. So we can sit down and say, okay, here's where we thought the successes were. Here's where we thought we had some weaknesses. This is what we could work on together. This is what I would suggest next time around. So we do have all those conversations lead it, so we can lead into the next productive
kind of set
event.
The foundation for
yeah,
the next one.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's about connection.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the distinction between draw some distinctions between the corporate and social markets as because you're very unique that way.
Yeah.
For instance, we do all corporate
right. And
a variety of different kinds of corporate, but for you, you're doing both markets. Draw some distinctions for us. What are some of the differences between those two markets?
Emotions.
But they exist on both sides.
It's different though, because with a corporate client, here's the budget. Make it work.
Do you always get a budget?
With a corporate client?
Yeah.
You hope to.
Yeah, well, hope, yes.
Yeah, you hope to. Okay. You hope to. But a lot will be, a lot of corporate clients will be very like, here's what I've got, make it work. And it's either it can work or it can't work.
Correct.
With a social client, it's very emotionally driven, especially, you know, it comes down to the dads oftentimes, especially with the weddings.
The dads?
And the dads.
In terms of the dollars?
In terms of the dollars.
Okay.
And it's very emotional as well. You know, you're dealing with people and a special time in their lives. And is it going to be perfect? And is this going to be right? And is that going to be right? So it's, when it comes down to it, social is a very emotional engagement. And the corporate is less of that. At the end of the day, they're both still partnerships.
Yeah.
I'm still looking to create those strong, solid relationships. I don't want the one and done. Even if we're doing a bar mitzvah or a wedding or a life event, you may never have another event with us again, but you're going to remember how we made you feel. You're going to remember the process. You're going to remember that we took good care of you. You're going to remember that we listened to you. And you're going to remember that this event, this celebration was everything you could have expected and more. And so you'll refer us. You'll think about us. You'll stay in touch with us.
Yeah.
And we stay in touch. We do our best to stay in touch with our clients too.
Do you? And are you finding a lot of your social clients are converting into corporate clients?
That's actually how I started my business. The social clients were converting into corporate
into
clients.
Corporate.
And sometimes corporate converts into social as well.
Yeah.
And because of social media, you know, a lot of us are Facebook friends. I don't like to become Facebook friends prior to the end of the event, but afterwards, and we do, and we follow each other. As a matter of fact, I'm in conversation right now with an old client of mine whose wedding I did 7 years ago. She's part of a worldwide travel agency who I want to employ to take care of some destination events that I have coming up. That I mean, so great. It's you get to reconnect.
Yeah, and real reciprocity too, which is relationships.
Yeah.
So the industry has changed over the 25 years that you and I have been in business.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what's the distinction now? What are people looking for now in a planner that they weren't looking for before? And what should they be looking for? Because a conversation you and I often have is that people could elevate their thinking around what it is a planner should provide.
So what they should be looking for, at the end of the day, it's about who you connect with. You've got to be very comfortable with that person because this is a long process.
Right.
You have to have trust and faith in whoever you're hiring. What the biggest issue is that people are hiring based on an Instagram photo. And there's no foundation behind that. There's no real experience behind that necessarily. So clients aren't always doing their research. They're not understanding that that picture is a photo shoot. They're not understanding that it's just one small component of a much bigger piece. What clients should be asking are the questions of how much experience do you have? Can I see a client reference list? Can I talk to some industry people? I think even more than client reference list, can I talk to some industry people? How do you work? How do you best put our team together? Are you a team player?
Yeah.
You know, this is not just about, it takes a team to create an event. And if there is that built-in relationship, and we're very clear in the fact that each team we create is different for each client event. So we have relationships that are far-reaching. But I think to know that you have a team that works well together and that is going to work on your behalf and that understands what you want. This is not about us. This is about listening to the client's vision, understanding what their priorities are, and then creating the right environment for them.
Do you find, I mean, this is kind of off script, but curious, because you talk about the Instagram and because the personalization, right, especially in a celebration environment, they're so personal. How do you, I mean, and not everyone's going to be attracted to that photo,
right?
So how do you as a company now kind of get your message out there that you're not just, you don't do just this version of a look or this version of an experience? How do you make that broader for your kind of in the marketing that you do?
We have a very strong website, number one. And we're in the process actually of updating our website again right now. It is about putting your look, your feel, who you are out there. And it's done in a variety of ways. We do it in the website, we Instagram, we Twitter, we do all those mediums, if you will. And we're constantly rethinking, like, how is that being presented? How is that being, you know, what's the thought there? And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. When I see what's liked, sometimes I'm shocked. Why? You that over that? But that was so fabulous, and that was
Or
that wasn't as interesting to me. So I'm finding that I really can't quite understand the pulse of what it takes. So while we have a consistent message, I feel that when I look at the information we're putting out there on our blog and all of that, there is definitely consistency in the voice. What hits and what resonates with people is not necessarily consistent. It's quite interesting.
It is interesting. It's a hard one to, it's hard to predict. And in fact, it goes back to that value concept too, and making sure that you're bringing value to your clients and asking them, you know, what did attract you to us and sort of getting that out of them so that that even starts the foundation of the conversation for the plan.
Right.
Sort of those initial stages. So back to kind of the client and their expectations in terms of fees and value, which is something I think, you know, you and I both feel strongly about. It's less about a transaction. It's about what value do you bring as a planner or a third party? What should they expect in terms of fees and in terms of costs? What questions should they be asking a planner around that?
Well, you know what? You want to know, what is the breakdown of the services that you're providing? When it comes to it, and very particularly with social events, there's two sides to the equation here. There's the logistical side, and then there's the design creative side. And at Evoke, we do both. We manage both processes. We are creative conceptualizers. We come up with the whole feel flow of the event. And then we bring the team in. And then there's that logistical side. And people get caught up in a very pretty picture. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a strong logistical running, you've got nothing. It doesn't matter how pretty something is. So it's that understanding of what are the steps that are put into place to make sure that this process is fluid, to make sure that your day is fluid, that your event is seamless. And that comes with years of experience. You know, we know the ins and outs. We bring a professional team on site to every event. It's not just me and one other person. There's a big team of us. Right. Why? Because there are different aspects that have to be managed for the fluidity. Otherwise, things fall through the cracks. I don't care how good your floor plan is. I don't care how good your timeline is. Everybody gets on site. Every vendor gets on site and they go, huh, where do we go? What do we do? I don't know. Always, yes. Always. We are managing a million moving parts. And I think the more we can convey to the client, it's not just about picking a venue. It's not just about picking a caterer. People see it in a very big picture perspective. It's the details that fall under that. If I were to charge hourly like a lawyer, my fees would be through the roof.
Yeah. No, we've always said that as well.
And I would love to.
Yes, it'd be great.
But there's a reality of how do you even track that? That's really hard. Every email, every phone call with the client, with the vendor, every walkthrough. I mean, it all adds up to hours and hours and hours of time that people don't even realize. So it's always trying to, how do we set that expectation of value? And sometimes I'll tell you that understanding of what that value is doesn't really click into the client until about halfway through the process.
Yeah.
Or until the end. For people who have been through it before and haven't had a good experience, that's a different story. From the onset, they understand what it is that we're providing for them, that mm-hmm. level of service. Service is a luxury. It's an intangible. You know, people talk about the luxury business. People talk about it in this really wide scale conversation, if you will. But when it comes down to it, it's really the detail and level of service that you're providing. That's the luxury.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to provide that. We do.
Yeah. No, agreed. And in terms of it's hard to place a value on that,
it
you know,
is.
And accurately.
And it's, you know, you're constantly is trial and error. You know, is it, do you do flat fee? Do you do percentage? What's going to resonate? You want the client to feel comfortable.
Do you find your clients gravitating towards one pricing structure versus another?
Up until recently, definitely the flat fee.
That's
although, you know, we're trying to incorporate, how do you incorporate a little percentage? I know a lot of people are trying to go that way. Mm-hmm. We want to do it in a way that it makes sense for everybody, in a way that it makes sense for us, in a way that it makes sense
where
for
you're
the client.
Providing, you're getting a deep discount and you can share in that with both the client and or yourselves if that makes sense.
You know, it's what makes sense.
Yeah, that's how we do it as well.
And it's also really looking at your contract.
Correct.
As the scope of work shifts.
Correct.
Having a clause in place to say, should your scope shift from what the initial concept, then compensation shall be invoiced accordingly.
Correct.
And that conversation will have to take place. Up until last year, I did not have that in my contract. And I realized, I'm like, a lot of my events are shifting. The scope is changing.
Right.
And I'm doing exponential amounts of work for the same amount of money. That's
correct.
Not fair.
Correct.
You know.
And are you finding people are responding to that? I mean, corporate clients are in corporate and social,
yeah.
or mostly corporate are responding well to that?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Good. We're finding the same thing where if there is some level of scope creep that we're going back to them with a change order and then therefore an addendum that's capturing some of those additional dollars. And it's been well received, especially if you're upfront at the outset.
Yes.
That's the key piece, I think.
It's transparency. It's
Correct.
Always being upfront. And what we've even done is we created a full addendum page on our contract. It's just some certain critical points that we need to address so it's not lost in the language in the contract, but just knowing that something like that, like the creep, you know, other things, for example, like, you know, how vendors are to be taken care of on site. That's really important. Vendors are working a long day.
Right.
They need to eat. That should not come out of my pocket. I know it sounds so simple, but it's super important.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, that has come out of my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt it was important.
Right.
And now I say, you know what, client, you need to cover these people. You need to take care of them. They're taking care of you.
Correct. No, that's very, very smart. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about experiential, because that's kind of the buzzword in our industry. But what's interesting about experiential, in my view, is that it actually was, to me, born out of social to some degree, if you really start to think about what social events how they've evolved. Talk to me about how experiential plays out in both your social and corporate market.
So experiential is what Evoke is all about. It's what we have been about for years and years and years and years. And that was our internal buzzword until it became the external buzzword. Everything becomes the external buzzword.
So Jody coined the phrase.
Yes, I did. I did.
Let it be known.
And my daughter coined the phrase schwassum, which is awesome to a whole level. So experiential is really what we've been all about. And you can look at it from two standpoints. You can look at it from how you are creating that experience for your client from day one, mm-hmm. how you're incorporating them into the process, how you are managing their experience with you in the planning process. But then it really goes into, who are you? What do you want this event to be? How do we bring your nuance to the table? And then integrate your guests into that. And that is what the elevator is on all of these events. And it's not like you have to create a million experiences in any event. It's creating something significant that stands out, that makes your event different from everybody else's. So if that experience is something that is... could be as simple as something that we do from a service standpoint. It could be something that is integrated with the guests. It could be something that everybody gets to play with.
Give us some examples. Some fun stuff.
So some fun stuff. So do you know the Light Bright?
Yeah, I know the Light Bright. I love the Light Bright. I play with the Light Bright.
I developed the Light Bright. What? That is mine.
What?
Nobody knows
the big
that.
Light Bright.
The big Light Bright.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. You developed the little one that I used to use when I was a kid? No, the big one. I did not know you developed that.
So I developed that because...
I love Jody Moraru. Let it be heard.
So I wanted something new and unique. And I thought, you know, what would be really fun? We could play with it. It could be great for social. It could be great for corporate. It'd be a great branding. It could be packaged up. It could go across the country. And I had this idea. And so I called Nick over at Carnival Day, which is now Snap Entertainment. And I said, I have an idea. And I said, can you build this? And he said, I think I can. And he did.
It's great.
And he built it, and it has, and he's still been building them and rebuilding them. It's now in 4x4. It travels. It's double-sided.
Is it a business, actually, that you guys own or jointly?
Well, I wasn't that smart in
it. Okay.
I'm great with the ideas, but, you know, in terms of figuring out how this is going to manifest itself from a long-term business perspective, I didn't, But that's okay. I'm still proud of it.
Yeah, of course.
And he still gives me credit.
Yes, of course.
And we have other ideas that we, you know, are ruminating on, and something else will come out in the near future as well.
That's great.
Really, really proud of it. He is building them for corporations and shipping them all over the country.
That's fantastic.
And I can say, wow, that was my idea.
That was great.
Yeah,
there you go. I like it.
And all the knockoffs, everything else you see out there, they're not ours.
There you go. Yours was better.
So it's really all about, you know, recently I just did an event for a design group. And it was as simple as we had a conversation board. And we did these frames on the board, and then conversations were written. What was your favorite TV show?
You were posing questions?
We're posing questions. Okay. What's your favorite TV show? Where's the worst place you've been recently? If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And we're posing questions, and people were writing their answers in the frame. And it became this amazing, fun, interactive way for people to engage with each other. And it's simple. It wasn't a big technology thing. It was crayons, and it was art, and it was... markers. And, you know, I wrote, where's the worst place you've been lately? And I said, my head. Can't get out of there. So that interactive element is so much fun.
Are those the trends that you're seeing on both the social and corporate side, that sort of interactive?
Yeah. Or even like I did a wedding back in February, and I had a wall designed, and it had a three purpose. I like to multi-purpose things. So the initial wall was a beautiful mirrored wall that hosted the escort cards. When you came back after the ceremony, it had flipped, and it had cheers in all different languages from all around the world, and it became a cocktail wall, and it had a specialty cocktail drink on shelves on the wall. And then when you went in for dinner and you came back out for dessert, it hosted this incredible dessert display with a whole other backdrop. And so it had three different, and every time somebody came out, they were like, pictures, oh my God, did you see that? Exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
And where are you drawing your inspiration from? What are you and asking your team to do in terms of, you know, is it industry events? What is it? Where are you getting it from?
We are all at Evoke big travelers. I think vacation time is very critical. I think taking time for yourself is critical. So I would say we all draw inspiration from our travels. Okay. Very, very much so. I draw inspiration from fashion. I can look at something and say, oh, that would be really cool as this instead. And not so much, listen, I'll see a pretty picture on Instagram. I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't get bogged down in that or Pinterest. I find that to be numbing for me. Mm-hmm. So I have to remove myself from that. Part of it is also to take time and meditate. Take time and work out and take a walk and refresh. If I am really bogged down in the logistics of things, the creative side gets very tired. So I have to take time to rejuvenate that. I love the creative side. I love coming up with a new concept and a new idea. And I would say the same thing for my team as well.
Are you investing in other than forcing them out the door on vacations and things like that, or is there anything that you're asking them to attend outside of the industry or, you know, that you're pushing them to go to and see, or whether it's a new art exhibit or anything like that in order to draw inspiration?
You know, I suggest things. You know,
it's hard to force.
I definitely went to the Wonder exhibit because it was absolutely phenomenal. Right. I like to go to the galleries and things. New York is always inspirational for me. You know, quick trip up to New York, I'm like, boom! Jeanette, my office, has started to attend some conferences. Okay. So if there's something that comes down the pike that I think is relative to each of them, yes. Tea comes from a background of food and beverage. Right. So her inspiration is very much based on that. Going to new restaurants, going to bars, having those experiences, spending time with Stir DC girls and learning the concepts. Or, you know, she'll go down to Magnus Distillery and spend a day learning about distillery. And then she comes back with all kinds of fresh concepts.
That's
so
great.
We all come from different parts of the event industry as well. I even had a stint in the floral world. So we all bring that. Caitlin comes from a PR background, from a bridal salon and PR background. Jeanette had experience working for a corporation and also from a PR background. And T came from a food and beverage, catering, and hotel background. So we bring a really interesting perspective to the table.
Which is interesting. Talk to me about how technology is influencing your events. I know you just mentioned that, you know, it is not always necessary, but when does it work in the social and corporate environment that you work in?
So, you know, I had to think about that one.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay, I am not the most technology savvy person in the office. They will tell you that. You know, I can do your basic timeline and all of that. However, what I realize is we use a lot of technology. I had to change the phone systems over this year. We use social tables. Social tables is huge for
huge
us. As I'm sure
everybody.
It is for you. Dan
yes.
Berger, we love you.
We love you.
We love you, Dan.
Yes. He'll be on this show.
Oh, yes, he will. It's huge. And it's been a game changer for us and for our clients.
Okay.
We just changed over to Office 360. Ways to communicate, ways to keep our calendars in sync. Our calendars were a little bit all over the place. And not that everybody has to see where I'm at every moment of the day, but it's, she's out. You can't schedule a meeting from me here. We just started utilizing Slack for internal communication
okay.
as well. And it's just a way for us to quickly talk to one another. Even in the office, I have an office with a door, which is rarely closed. Everybody else is in an open office environment. But it's a way, if somebody's on the phone, to send a quick message over.
Mm-hmm.
Pops up. We can communicate. We can make sure that we're giving the correct answers or setting up a meeting, whatever it is. So internally, we're using a lot of things. Dropbox. If I were to get run over by a car today or a bus, let's say the proverbial bus, anybody in my office can go access any of my files and continue with those clients and those events.
So let's keep on this vein of you now as business owner, because the premise of this, of course, is that, you know, if you are an event person in a corporation, that you really should be looking at this as a business vertical in order to be talking in the C-level suite. Or if you are in the C-level suite, you should also be elevating your events to that suite, understanding that it's a revenue source, it's driving your objectives of the organization, it's visibility, it's all these things.
Right.
So you talked about the structure. So you're talking about transparency, you're talking about cloud-based systems, so accessibility, all of those things being really critical. Because as you know, a lot of things are Excel-based still, which
right.
doesn't make any sense really in this day and age.
Right.
Talk about your expectations of your colleagues in terms of the expense and revenue sides, or maybe you're not as much on the revenue, but on the expense side. What are they responsible for? What are you asking them to do around that and understand?
You know, everybody sort of has a different role, and it's interesting. And as time goes on, it becomes more clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
There is an expectation of being out in marketing on behalf of Evoke. setting up those meetings. And at the end of the day, there can be all the social media in the world. If you're not having a direct person-to-person relationship, the company is not going to grow. You're not going to get the referrals. The business isn't going to continue. So my expectation is, because that affects the bottom line, that is part of our revenue stream, everybody's given a certain amount of marketing dollars to go out and to make sure that those relationships are strong and to continue along those lines, because I am all about the relationship. There is a...
managing budget for a client? What's the expectation around
that? Managing, that comes from day one. Budget management comes from day one. Here's the shift. We implement the initial budget. We implement the initial estimated budget. We talk to the client about it. Then we get a more succinct budget from the client once that happens. At that point, though, I put it on the client to keep updating their budget. And the reason why is this: with all the numbers that they are being sent, if they're not keeping track of it and they're not looking at it, I don't want to be called at the 11th hour and go, why am I over budget? Well, I've been sending this to you. It was right there. It was accessible to you. So I'm putting it more back on the client, because I want them to know what's going on at any given moment.
Interesting.
Which I think is an interesting approach. And I think a lot of people would probably disagree with me on it. But I'm finding, and this is more for social clients than corporate clients, it is because they are the decision makers. Here are your options. This decision based on this option is putting you at this budget point. That was your decision, not my decision. So I want them to have more responsibility for that.
More accountability.
Yeah, more accountability. Yeah.
Along the same line, what makes a good client in your opinion?
Somebody who trusts you, respectful, will communicate openly and honestly. You know, I would say somebody who just appreciates what you do for them. It goes a long way to be appreciated.
Yeah.
You will do anything. You'll bend over backwards for those clients who adore you and appreciate you and respect the level of work that you do.
And is that a philosophy that you employ in your company in terms of your colleagues?
Yes. And I always say, if you meet with somebody and it doesn't feel right, don't take it. The bottom line is not that important, because it doesn't matter what you do. You can bend over backwards. You could do cartwheels, whatever. It's not going to work. If it does not feel right, it's never going to work. If there is an expectation, a false expectation that's being set and you can't meet it, walk away.
It is true.
And you learn that the hard way.
So many hard lessons. And that actually goes right into this question.
You learn that the hard way.
What is one of the biggest challenges that you face as an owner, running what would be then a department for somebody else potentially?
For me personally, that I always have a million things going on in my mind. And I think I said too early, not negative things, just the mind is always going boom, 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 boom. And things I always want to do and things I always want to implement. And I want to make it better for everybody and I want to make it better for me and I want Evoke to grow. And you have to kind of take a step back and go, okay, let's take one thing at a time. You know, right now it's very critical that we get the website up and running, and that keeps getting put on the back burner. For the team, for managing, I think being a manager is the hardest job I've ever had.
No question.
I am a great mentor. Management has come at a lot of trial and error, and I think I've become a better manager because of that. I'm also very open and honest with my team as well, and I promote a lot of feedback. It is a democratically run office to a great extent.
Okay. So you solicit feedback, but do you make the final decision, or is it really that democratic?
No. I solicit feedback, but I do make the final decision. Because guess what? It's my liability, my name on the line. Everything is under me. It's my reputation. I've built this company. But I have the world of respect for this incredible team I have. I really, and we go through those ups and downs together. You know, we've had easy moments. We've had difficult moments. But I would say, as the owner, managing the team and expectations and everybody's individual growth and the team growth and the company growth and where I want to go and is everybody on board. And I've had to make those hard decisions. I've had to let people go. I've had to say, you know what, we're just not in the same space anymore. And for people that you love, because when you are a small office, there's a lot of love there.
Yes.
There has to be. And to say it's time to move on and it's time for you to move on, it's a very difficult thing to do.
It is.
And those choices are hard. some of the hardest choices I've ever had to make.
Yes, the beauty and the challenge of being a business owner.
Yeah.
Jody, just what an absolute pleasure having you on, and I want to have you on more and more and more. Many other things to discuss, but your insights, your thoughtfulness, both about the unique position you find yourself in across the social and corporate markets, which I don't think a lot of people are doing both, and then also just as a business owner and a very successful one. It's just a pleasure. You're a great friend.
Thank you.
You're a great businesswoman. You're someone who's been a confidant to me over the years, and it's just a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Well, I feel the same way about you, and thank you for having me.
Oh,
this is awesome. I can't wait to see this.
It's a love. Yes, but if you have any, again, we're delighted to have you as an audience here with us. We, both of us, I know I speak for both of us when we say we're grateful for you taking time out of your very busy day to listen and learn. If you have any more questions for me or for Jody, go ahead and email me at eventceo@linderglobal.com and we'll be sure to get back to you. Once again, have a great day, and it's just a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You can follow Event CEO on Twitter and Instagram at @event_CEO and on Facebook at Event CEO Podcast. Show notes for this episode can be found at www.linderglobal.com/podcast.